Welcome back to Pax Europeana, the podcast about peace in Europe. This is about European Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's a wonderful country. It's the green, pumping heart, beautiful, the hub of the Balkans. Really amazing country. I like it very much. I recommend you to go. It's an amazing outdoor natural paradise with cultural assets of significance. A beautiful capital in Sarajevo, amazing opportunities for hiking, for rafting on the wild rivers in the south and in the east. It's beautiful. Also, the nightlife is great and the touristic facilities in Mostar, amazing place. You have to see the old reconstructed bridge, so world famous. You have to walk there. And also Sarajevo, an amazing place. It also has a difficult history, no doubt about it. And also this is worth to revisiting. There's wonderful war tours where the participants and the victims of the war, they will guide you through Mostar, they will tell you the history of Sarajevo. I have done this tour myself in 2019 with my children. It was a wonderful experience and a really unforgettable experience. You can easily go there by airplane after Corona, obviously. You can easily drive there from Austria, from Germany, from Italy, you know, from Poland. It's easy to drive and they even have now decent highways. Not everywhere, but it's getting better every year. And there is about 100 kilometers of highway. Of course, you know, you will say just 100 kilometers, but the highway towards Budapest will be finished one day. I hope faster. I hope we support Bosnia more. I have made many proposals for that already. And I hope that now with Biden in the White House and he's a real friend of Bosnia, I think he has done more than any living person in the world for peace in Bosnia. And he is to be accredited very much, yeah. Together, of course, with Bill Clinton. I won't diminish Bill Clinton's enormous effort also when he understood the challenge Bosnia takes after 94, and then in 95, obviously, he was the commander-in-chief to impose peace, to send Holbrooke towards Bosnia to make sure there is a settlement, the so-called Dayton Peace. It's a wonderful documentary about all the details of the Dayton Peace, also from BBC, and a lot of documentation on that one. Look, it's a complicated history, but it's amazing how successful the country has developed in the last 25 years. And it's also amazing that we are so rejecting it. And that the Serbian propaganda, Russian propaganda, and all this kind of extreme rejectionists from Paris and partly in Berlin are succeeding in blocking the EU candidate status, the NATO membership, the Euroization of Bosnia, because these are the three things which urgently have to happen, together with the membership in WTO, and the four things. The rest basically is very good in Bosnia. It has great economic potential in tourism, in the furniture industry, in the metal industry, in a lot of manufacturing areas. It is a wonderfully positioned country already very much in the heart of Europe. If it would have better access with railways and with highways, which we have to fund and build, not the Chinese. Yeah? If we would invest more and take Bosnia more seriously, this would be extremely beneficial also for Serbia and Kosovo to heal the wounds. Bosnia and NATO means the unlocking of the Serbian Kosovo problem, because it will show Serbia that NATO is really serious, and that would be enormously beneficial. Obviously, we have to do something. We cannot just idle stand by as Europeans while America again makes peace. Yeah, and that's my biggest problem with the European politics. They do as if everything would be not of their concern. Everything is so complicated, it needs a century of decision-making. And we are always taking, like the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, a century too long, an army too less, and a decision too late. Yeah? And that's, in retrospect, the way we failed in Austria-Hungary. And Napoleon said this dictum very famously. And I think we do have to hope for American leadership to get Europe going, because it's unbelievable on all fronts. We are doing too less, too little, too late. Nevertheless, let's stick with Bosnia, where it's worth to visit and where it's really beautiful. I can personally attest you that the feeling you have when you're interested in history and then you're interested in Europe and you walk in Sarajevo and you walk over the bridge where Franz Ferdinand was killed in 1940 and you don't feel the shiver of history, then something is wrong with you. Because it's such a touching and emotional place, and you hear the stories, you go to the museum. It's a small museum only, you know, the facilities are not impressive, but the bridge and the whole setting, the mountains in the back where the Serbs have shelled the city during the occupation and the siege from 92 to 95, which was only broken with American power. Thanks, America, for that. And also then you see, you go to the tunnels under the airport where the supply routes were coming for the Bosniaks to supply the city, not to starve. I mean, these are places unforgettable. I showed it my children and I think it was impressive. And I liked it very much myself as well. So I recommend this to learn about European history. It's a wonderful and impressive. And also to see the place where the shelling came, the terrible shelling of the marketplace of Sarajevo from the hills above it, yeah, by the Serb artillery on order of Milosevic, to really crack down hard on the poor innocent citizens who had to buy something to eat. Yeah? And this was actually the turning point in August 95 when NATO hammered hard on the Bosnian-Serbian positions, and as an act that it was too much. Yeah? And the line was crossed. There was a real line, not a Obama red line, but a Clinton real line, which was lived up to with the power of American cruise missiles and American fighter planes. Yeah. And they ensured there was a settlement. Peace was there since 95. Yeah. And obviously, you know, the reason for peace was obviously because some Serb extremists, to this day on videos and books I read and I see, they claim that Serbia would have intervened, yeah. What kind of Serbian intervention would that have been, you know, against the American army and the American air force and the American navy? No. It was like this, that the combined ground forces of the alliance between the Croatians and the Bosniaks was by far superior and winning a lot of territory already. And without the Dayton Peace, there would have been no such kind of Republika Srpska. But obviously the Serbs, the Americans were not allowing a revenge kind of massacre and ethnic cleansing. And so the armistice of Dayton was definitely also saving the Republika Srpska. And I think somebody should acknowledge that from time to time in Banja Luka. Anyhow, Banja Luka, I was there as well. Additionally, a very amazing and beautiful pearl. It's in the north of Bosnia, the so-called Krajina. That's the northern flatlands of Bosnia, where it is very similar geographically to Slavonia. That's the eastern part of Croatia, which was also occupied by Serbia until the Operation Storm. And it was that part in the north, which is very flat already. And then it attaches towards Bosnian north. And Banja Luka is basically when you drive through, as I have done it in 2019, you come from the south, you come via Mostar, you go to Jajce. That's a beautiful place, also full of history. I will come back to that in a moment. Then you go and leave the mountains, and there at the end of the mountains, when the flatland starts, there's Banja Luka. Beautiful castle, beautiful river, a really amazing town. That's now the capital of Republika Srpska, which in many ways, this kind of Krajina, it was the Krajina means like Ukraine, Krajina, that's a word in Slavic languages for border. This was the Austrian borderland where the Austrian-Hungarian monarchy has settled Serbs, especially as border soldiers, farmers, soldiers, militias, to defend against the Turkish Empire, basically. Because here exactly there was this a long-lasting border between Austrian Hungarian monarchy, or in that time the Habsburg monarchy, and the Ottoman Empire. Exactly here it was going in these crosslands in the north of Bosnia. They called later the famously the cordon sanitaire, which was a kind of really very hermetically closed border where everybody had to also do some physio-sanitary checks, it would be called today. That means there was quarantine there, cordon sanitaire, against the pestilentia and the plague and against all other illnesses. And it was a very complicated border. And sadly, to this day, here is the border with the EU. Croatia, luckily, already in. That's very good. But Bosnia, not. And we should really make sure that Bosnia is fast-tracked now into the European Union as part of the NATO accession deal to get Bosnia in, get the euro to Bosnia, get the WTO membership, and get Bosnia to be voting in 2029 in the European Parliament. It cannot go as fast as Albania. It cannot go as fast as Montenegro and North Macedonia. They should vote already in 2024, but 2029 is absolutely possible for Bosnia, but first in NATO, first to adopt the euro. The currency, I explained already, is anyhow pegged to the German mark. It's also called mark. It's the Bosnian mark. Unfortunately, the decision in 97 was to have a own currency. That's never a very good idea for small countries so close to the EU big internal market. So get the euro adopted. And no, it's not impossible. Have some courage in Berlin and in Paris, yeah, and hopefully in Frankfurt and Brussels. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Yeah. Get going. Bosnia must adopt the euro, join NATO, and up in the EU very fast. And that will heal the wounds of the past. Yeah. This is the magic of the European Union. Then also with subsidies, with support, with a cohesion mechanism to make sure that all regions of Bosnia are really developed. Because when you drive through Bosnia and spend some time there, you will see the Croatian and Bosnian Federation, the 10 cantons, are already much more developed than the Republika Srpska. There's a huge and significant prosperity differential between the Muslim Croatian Federation, basically the central and western parts, the parts connected to Croatia in the west, and also the central part where most of the 1.5 million Muslim Bosniaks live. And that's basically very developed. Mostar is booming. Sarajevo is booming. It's going good. There's a lot of construction everywhere, booming. The streets are good. You know, it's working. When you see then Banja Luka is also booming and it's working with some kind of lesser level. But the rest of Republika Srpska, especially the northeastern part towards Serbia and towards Vukovar, looks like a war zone. It's disaster. And, you know, the eastern, the southern part, it's called the Herzegovina, because Herzegovina is both, it's a term used for the south of Bosnia, basically Mostar, but also the Republika Srpska. And the federation part of Herzegovina, it looks quite nice. Mostar is a place you really want to spend your holiday in. I did it myself. It's amazing. Nightlife, beautiful atmosphere, amazing, everything reconstructed, booming. If you go south after Stolac, that's the border town then on the other side, and you have still one city which is worth visiting, Trebinje. It's beautiful and also with a lot of stone, Stari Grad and amazing Dalmatian pearl in the center. But the rest of it, it's absolutely lonely. You can go hiking, you can go maybe rafting, that's very beautiful. But there is nobody living anymore there. The Republika Srpska does nothing for the Herzegovina. It's left alone, like wild. And that's why you did a war, to get territory, not to do anything with it, not to develop it. I called many times for the highway there, the Herzegovina highway, the Herzegovina airport, must be a big airport in Trebinje, but nothing, you know. It's beautiful land. Wine, and it's beautiful agriculture, some parts of it, the river valleys, but it's absolutely left for the people to live there. You leave to Austria, to Germany. There's nothing happening. And when you go then from Sarajevo to Foča to the south along this road, there's, you know, you're alone. And I've not been to the centers of genocide, Srebrenica and Gorazde in the other side on the east of Sarajevo. I will go there soon once the travel allows, but it is hopefully in one of the next summers. But honestly, what I see also from what I read in the reports, it's going to be empty. What is the Republika Srpska? It's only Banja Luka. And only Banja Luka is fine and the rest, they don't care? Oh, man, please. Yeah. And the international community watches all this and says, okay, fine, all over you. No. We have to seriously engage and make a fast-track development of Bosnia-Herzegovina, also really into the European Union, NATO, with all our instruments. Yeah. This kind of approach to wait and see, this Merkel'sche always delaying, this Macron'sche always blocking, this leads to really the wrong results. Conditionality, the idea that you can blackmail countries into good behavior, is absolutely childish and wrong. Inside, as we have seen in Romania and Bulgaria, we have the tools and there is much better progress. Of course, it might be difficult in the beginning, some costs and some problems, but the result is much better after 10 years, 15 years. And that matters most. Do you want all Bosnians to live in Austria or in Munich? I think it's never the aim. I'm very much for openness. Everybody is welcome in Austria and in Germany and in the EU. We should open the labor market, yeah? But not on the condition that the rest of Bosnia is left to be a summer tourism paradise where in the rest of the year only the old and the young live. I mean, please, hello Europe, anybody there? Anyhow, it's very beautiful, it's full of forest, it's full of amazing rivers, it's an amazing country, it's a great addition to the European Union. It's a beautiful place, yeah. It's great people, they have great talents, yeah? And they will be a really great contribution. And anyhow, they will come anyhow, if we don't include the country, the people will come. So, seriously. And also the internal divisions and the 10,000 things which need to be reformed. By the way, also in Austria, so many things need to be reformed. So let's stop our German-Austrian kind of arrogance to block everybody in the Balkans because they are not perfect. Yeah, the perfection is not even reached in Germany and Austria to anybody's kind of information, nor in America perfection I don't see anywhere. Yeah? Everything is under progress and under construction. Reform is needed everywhere. And we have also to reform Bosnia, but not making it conditional to the accession steps. Get Bosnia in. And there is obviously resistance from the Serbian leadership because of the Russian links and the Serbian links. Yeah? And Vucic kind of using Bosnian Serbs as a kind of leverage to get himself as well in the EU without having to confront the NATO negative attitude, which he himself created in Serbia so much, and he has brought him to power. But what we need to do is quite obvious. Yeah? Make sure there is a great offer which nobody in the Serbian community with his good mind can support, can reject. Yeah? And when the European Commission president tells in a visit to Sarajevo, we invite you to the Euro, we invite you to EU candidate status, please, we also build your highways, and this is the way to NATO. Thank you very much. Tuk, tuk, tuk. Bravo. It's done deal. And it's very difficult for Mr. Dodik to be against the euro, be against the open labor market, be against NATO. He will still be. But many of his voters will say, oh, good. Europe is serious with us. We are serious with Europe. Where is the signature? Where can I sign? The deal will be done. Some extremists maybe will never love NATO. We have also many anti-NATO activists in Greece. Yeah. We have many anti-NATO activists and also opposition in Montenegro. We have that as well in Macedonia. We have that as well in Turkey. Yes, that's very unfortunate, but it's much better to have them in the alliance and also to work long-term for improvement. As we have seen, for example, the anti-Americanism in Greece has massively been reduced in the last years. Surprise, surprise. Everybody who knows Greece a bit knows what kind of atrocious and toxic the Greek anti-Americanism was. But, you know, time and good policy can heal the wounds. And it has been achieved. Yeah? Obviously, there's still many who would love to smash some American embassy in Athens. Yeah, I understand that and I know that. Yeah, so let's be careful and let's not be over optimistic. And in Bosnia, it will be also complicated. Yeah, but it's much better to have the countries inside the alliance than outside as a kind of threat for regional stability, where Russia always finds these division lines in our system and will exploit it as it does already for 150 years, actually, in Bosnia. I don't want to talk too much about all the histories because I will do specific podcasts about it, but this is really to express my appreciation for this beautiful country. There is also the need to help Bosnia in this refugee crisis very much. Because what is happening? The refugees mainly come from Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, the countries we neglect and we do too little to help them there. And so then Assad and Russia are barrel bombing people. The Russians pay the Taliban to kill people. And then they are coming, walking over. Then they are in Turkey stuck. We build a big wall. But some of the richer ones or the more faster ones, they still get through. Actually, we are so much against Trump because he builds a wall in the Mexican Rio Grande border. And we build this big wall at the Evros. In what kind of level we are morally better than the Trumpian wall builders? I don't want to get started with that. But no, then some of the refugees still make it over this wall. No, not over this wall, but through the Evros or for Bulgaria. Or they take some kind of human trafficking route and then they end up in Greece. They walk up or take whatever public transport. And then they meet again the EU border, Croatia-Bosnia. What is the reality? Then because Orban did another wall up there at the Serbian-Hungarian border, claiming always to be a friend of Serbia. He's the greatest friend of his strongman Vucic, and they're both pro-Russian, but he builds a big fence there. So what the people have to do is to, and they know, of course, they also have smartphones, and most of them are well-educated pro-Western elites of Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, yeah. Because they send the young people for a better life in Europe because they think we are the free world. Yeah, no, yeah, we are the free world just for us, not for them. That's the disaster of our policy. So then they are stuck in this northwestern, and that's why I want to explain also that's Bihać. And that's the will go there next year. I've unfortunately never been. But that's very close to the Plitvice Lakes, a touristic paradise. Bihać as well is a very beautiful town. But for these people, it's a small hell because they're coming there just to cross into Croatia. Croatia pushes them back and then they have to live in the winter. And actually, Bosnia is very rocky and very mountainous country mostly. And that was why it was the heart of the Tito Partisan resistance movement, because it's very inaccessible. There's still a lot of lack of infrastructure. And in Bihać, in this north, you know, the horseshoe of Croatia, this kind of boomerang. And in the center of this boomerang, there's Bihać. And they are there. And there are thousands of people who never wanted to, don't even know what Bosnia is. The Bosnians also are not very open. I call since years, since 10 years, yeah, no, that's exaggerated, since 7 years, also for Kosovo, Bosnia, Serbia, to be more open, to offer these people also not only refugee status, but residence permits. Some of them would like to stay, maybe. It's also a predominantly Muslim country, so maybe they would be very happy to work in the construction industry or in some service sector. Some of them are from rich families. They would even invest in Sarajevo or anywhere else, yeah, if they had the legal papers. But the Bosnians are as silly as all Europeans, and they treat them just as human cattle, want to get rid of them because we are also so poor, while in reality the Balkans is no longer as poor because it's first of all secure, and also the investment conditions are stable. So it's a good investment to invest in Sarajevo. But I know even of cases where people, rich people from Syria wanted to invest in Kosovo, build a hotel, was not allowed. Because of our own kind of standard European racism and xenophobia, which unfortunately these countries obviously have as well. And then the people are stuck in Bihać, and then we have to help them to build some kind of decent refugee camp for the people not to starve and freeze in the winter, obviously. Instead, and that's also quite expensive, would be much better Because since 2015, we have anyhow built all these kind of refugee accommodations, while we settle always in the last crisis, and now we are prepared for the 2015 refugee crisis, but in Germany and in Austria. But we don't allow the people in. And now we are focused very much on the pandemic. And I think in 2 years, we are ready for solving the next pandemic. It will hopefully not come for 100 years. But we will be totally ready 2 years after it happened. That's always how we do it in Europe, unfortunately. And we will then, I know, I wanted to talk about the Bosnian refugee crisis. It's similar like the Greek one. These are the people already 1,000 kilometers more to the north. It's very cold there. And we in Europe, in Austria, where we have over 300,000 Serbs and 200,000 Bosnians and so on from the Balkans, it really makes no difference if there are 10,000 more. Of course, they should come to Austria, and we should have been this obligation. But unfortunately, the political climate is not dominated by populists and people who have dominated their careers only by closing the borders instead of being open pro-Europeans, as I was thinking that will be the future of Europe. But unfortunately, it's not. Yeah, that's a shame. So, after this small discussion about the refugee crisis, let me come back to the NATO accession and also to the geography, because it's obviously for us in NATO, let's think also in geostrategic terms, it's so important to have Bosnia in NATO because it's the structure of Croatia as it is. It makes the whole Balkans easily better, the NATO Balkans, defensible against Serbian aggression. And you never know, they don't want to be in NATO. So there should be the Drin River, the border river with Serbia and Bosnia. That should be the defensive line. And that was actually also the Austrian monarchy border with Serbia. We should never have crossed it. And NATO is a defensive alliance, so nothing will happen to Serbia as long as this stays peacefully. And that I hope it will. And also I'm in favor of also Serbia joining NATO. But I am not sure that they will ever have this wisdom. But the majority of the Bosnians want. It's over 65% of the people in opinion polls. They say they want to join NATO because for everybody from the Muslim and from the Croatian minority, the Croatians are anyhow already having second passports from Croatia and are NATO citizens. And for the Bosnian Muslims, it's obviously the only hope for security is America. So very much they want to be. And it's the minority of the Serbs who is voting and are saying they are against NATO because they are misled by Dodik and Vucic. I made a separate podcast about what they have done for the 20 years anniversary of the NATO liberation of Kosovo, Montenegro and also Serbia in 99. You can also see everything differently. But I repeat, as I've done it, if we would have done in 1965 such kind of state-organized manifestation against the Allied bombing, I'm not sure if not the Americans would have come back. Anyhow, they never left because America and Germany are still today the strongest NATO force in Germany. So we have a really change in our policy. We have regretted our past and we are now strong American allies. Austria less than Germany, to my regret, but this will hopefully change as well. And it's very important when you see our historic responsibility for the war, for the First World War in Austria. That's why I call so much for Austria and Bosnia together with Kosovo in 2024 to join NATO, because this is the way for peace. This is also what we should do to build a big museum. Austria itself, the Austrian taxpayers, to build a big museum for the First World War in Sarajevo, find a good location, make a decent public investment in this city, also to commemorate our crimes and our wrong military answer to that assassination, and also our failed incompetent answer because it was a complete bungled operation in 1914. And also, obviously, invest in a decent museum for the assassination, the World War One. Objectively, get American historians to design it and to make it objectively and to live up to our past. That would be the better way to really get it done and join NATO together. And this overcome our 107 years of problems we have. And the past well represented in such a museum would be a really good way to close the very complicated century, the 20th century, once and for all, by unified NATO membership of Bosnia, Kosovo and Austria in 2024. And that's what I call for: European Bosnia and Herzegovina and the whole regions developed under European development assistance, regional cohesion, and it will be a wonderful place. There will be a lot of people from Austria in retirement want to live there because it's such a beautiful place to live. It's much, it's similar. No, I don't. Austria is also a nice place. But Bosnia is really very much looking like much of Austria, with beautiful green hills, with great rivers. It's very similar to the west of Austria. And it has also great skiing. It's close to the sea. The climate can be really hot in the summer in Mostar, unbelievable. But it is so amazing, sunny and beautiful. It will be a great contribution to the European unification project. If we somehow get this past out of our heads, put our past in museums. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm very much in favor. Great, wonderful touristic magnets, also correctly presenting the truth, but not blocking by the past our common future. That's the wrong way of keeping the past as a kind of break for the future. So, thanks a lot for European Bosnia. Join NATO, and thanks a lot for listening.